Hey, welcome to the Grove Church Online. My name is Pastor Nick, and I'm thankful that you are joining us because you could have been anywhere in the world. There's so many options for you to hear the word of God. And so I'm thankful that you are tuned into our platform here at the Grove Church Online. Hey, we're right in the midst of a series called I Am Okay, where we are talking about what the word of God says about some of the most common mental health issues that we face today. And so we are in part three of that series. And we're going to jump right in, and we're going to start in the Word of God at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. So if you haven't had a chance to join us for the two messages prior to this one, feel free to pause this one, run and go watch those, or you can definitely jump in today. You are certainly not missing what the Lord has to say for today. So Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 is where we're going to start. Go ahead and grab your Bible with you if you have that. Maybe it's on a device, maybe it's a physical Bible, and then grab something to take notes with, because I believe that whatever God speaks today, we should certainly be writing it down and we can reference it in the future. So certainly Bible, something to take notes with, and we're going to jump right into what God has to say today. So Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, we're looking at one verse today. Here's what it says. It says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you." And I would personalize that. I would say, "Don't be afraid, for God is with me." Go ahead and tell your neighbor that. "Don't be afraid, for God is with you," or "God is with me." "Don't be discouraged, for I am your God." Another quotable, "I will not be discouraged, because God is my God. I will strengthen you and help you." God will strengthen me and help me. And then the last thing that Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says is, "I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." These are all things that the Lord is speaking to his people, all things that we can personalize for ourselves. And so I'm just going to jump right in. And so as we start getting into anxieties and fears and worries and discouragement and all the other things that the enemy would try to plague our minds with, we can use Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 as reminders, as affirmations that we can speak over ourselves right in the middle of our storms. "I will not be afraid, for God is with me. I will not be discouraged, for God is my God. God will strengthen me. God will uphold me with his victorious right hand." These are all things that we can speak over our lives. And when we believe it in our heart, these things will come to pass. They are a reality for those who believe in the mighty hand of God. And so that's our text today. And I think that one verse is so powerful. So here's the title of our message today, what we're talking about. We've been talking about anxiety. We talked about depression last week. Today, we are talking about obsessive compulsive disorders. And the title for our message today is God Understands. And I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me clear on that, because I'm going to say it again. For you and whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, however challenging your disorder might be, God understands. And if you support someone who's dealing with one of these disorders, I want you to send them a text. I want you to talk to them. I want you to call them and let them know that God understands. He understands your thoughts. He understands your feelings. He understands the motives of your heart. He understands the intentions of your heart. God understands. Let's pray today. Lord, we just thank you for your understanding. We thank you for who you are and how powerful the text in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 is. Lord, I thank you that our hearts and our minds can be at ease because you understand. So we thank you right now, God, for your word. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just hear it, but we would be doers of your word, and we would apply every bit of it to our day-to-day life. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and for understanding every part of us from the inside out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So like I said, we're talking about obsessive compulsive disorder today. And I want to share what that means for those who might not be familiar. And I'm going to share a definition and some symptoms or some responses to the disorder that comes directly from the National Institute of Mental Health. So here's what it says. It says obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD, is a long-lasting disorder in which a person experiences uncontrollable and recurring thoughts or obsessions, engages in repetitive behaviors known as compulsions, or both. People with OCD have time-consuming symptoms that can cause significant distress or interfere with daily life. And so it is in some ways debilitating and can be difficult to just get on with a regular day or do regular tasks without obsessing over something or having these compulsions or behaviors that act out or play out in real time and are so repetitive that it can in some ways paralyze your life. Let's talk about obsessions for just a moment. Obsessions from, again, National Institute of Mental Health. Obsessions are repeated thoughts, urges, or mental images that are intrusive, unwanted, and make most people anxious. Some common obsessions include fear of germs or contamination, fear of forgetting, losing, or misplacing something, fear of losing control over one's behavior. And these are probably some things that if you're familiar with this disorder or you know someone who has this disorder, these might be more of the more common things that you associate the disorder with. But some other symptoms are aggressive thoughts towards others or oneself, unwanted, forbidden, or taboo thoughts involving sex, religion, or harm, and then the desire to have things symmetrical or in perfect order. Again, some of these things might sound familiar, what you might be used to when you think of what OCD is. And then some of these are things that people deal with and struggle with that are invisible to us around them. And so it's important for us to highlight what these symptoms are because there's varying degrees of these symptoms. And again, it's important for us to understand what our neighbors might be struggling with. When it comes to compulsions, here's what it says. It says, compulsions are repetitive behaviors a person feels the urge to do, often in response to an obsession. Common compulsions include excessive cleaning or hand washing, ordering or arranging items in a particular precise way, repeatedly checking things, such as that the door is locked or the oven is off, compulsive counting, praying or repeating words silently. And we'll talk more about that one specifically later on. But these are all things that those who deal with obsessive compulsive disorder have to live with on a day-to-day basis. Some of these on the surface might seem like, oh, that's not so bad, right? Like, I want to make sure my doors are locked, or I want to make sure my oven is off because I don't want to set the house on fire. But the key words in all of what I described are these repeated behaviors. And it's to the degree that, again, it can limit someone's ability to move forward in their day-to-day life because they're spending so much time doing these repetitive actions to ensure that they are safe, to ensure that they are mitigating anxiousness or worry for themselves. And so it's a struggle for people to just live the day-to-day life. And I know that's an understatement, but it is a struggle. It is a difficulty that people are living with every single day. And we talked about this to start this message, but the first thing I want you to understand and I want you to know about this disorder, for those who are dealing with it and those who might support someone dealing with it, is that God understands you. He understands you. Let's talk about this for a bit. At the root of the obsessions, which lead to the compulsions that we just talked about, is fear, it's anxiety, and ultimately this worry. And one of the things that I want to touch on that we just read is the fact that the obsessions may lead to behaviors, but it also leads to unwanted, forbidden, or taboo thoughts. And maybe you suffer from the disease or you support someone who suffers from the disease. And again, I want you to understand that God understands. I want you to know that. I'm going to repeat it over and over because I want you to understand that God truly does understand the fabric and the makeup of who you are from the inside out. Nothing is hidden from God. Absolutely nothing. So while you might have certain thoughts that you think that aren't visible I want you to understand that everything is naked and exposed before God's holy eyes. And he is the one that we are ultimately accountable to. And because he knows all, he understands our weaknesses better than anyone else, better than ourselves. He's faced all of the same tests we have, yet he did not sin, yet he did not stray, yet he did not lose faith. And so it's a testament to what, if God is able to go, if Jesus is able to go through those things and still have faith and trust in God, we can have the same faith and trust in God as well. So we are encouraged in more ways than one to come boldly to the throne of God, who is gracious with all of our disorders, diseases, and afflictions. There is no intrusive thought. There is no behavior that you have exhibited that God does not already see or understand. So we don't have to come to God timid. We don't have to come to God shy. We don't have to come to God embarrassed about what we struggle with or the thoughts that we have, because he sees and he understands. What we get when we do come to him with all of these things is his mercy, and we get his grace, and we get his help when we need it the most. That is the God that we serve. So we don't have to be concerned about whether God is going to accept us because of the thoughts that we have, or whether God is going to love us because of the behaviors that we exhibit. Again, when we come to God with these things, when we lay these things down at his feet, we get his mercy, we get his grace, and we get his help when we need it the most. When you begin to feel fear or the need to respond compulsively to those thoughts, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I know that's easier said than done, but repeat it to yourself over and over if you have to. I will trust in the Lord with all of my heart. I'm not going to depend on my own understanding or trust in my own ability to self-regulate these things. Instead, I am going to seek God for the steps and the actions that I need to take in response to how I'm feeling. Solomon offers that sound advice for life in his text in Proverbs. And our understanding as humans will always be subject to error. And that's something that we have to realize. And what appears to be the right choice may be the wrong choice for us. But the Lord sees the bigger picture, and he always knows what is better and what is best for us. And the point here is not to be mindless or naive, right? When I say like trust in the Lord, you might be thinking, well, yeah, of course, duh. I wish I could, or I wish my feelings and my behaviors would equate to demonstrating my trust in the Lord. And so I don't mean this in a mindless or naive sense. Rather, what I mean is that we need to recognize our own limitations. We need to recognize when we come to the end of ourselves, when we come to the end of our natural ability, and we need his supernatural ability, the ability that comes from the Holy Spirit for us to overcome these things. Right? Just because we're in over our heads does not mean God is no longer in control. We just have to recognize when we are limited in our ability to control these things, and we are limited in the behavior that we're gonna demonstrate, and we gotta understand that we gotta lean on the Holy Spirit to come in and rescue us in those moments. Don't try to figure it out on your own or with your own support or the support of yourself, but rather be fully aware of God's presence and be in fellowship with him often as you need to be. Be in fellowship with God on a daily basis. Give yourself to him, your thoughts, your heart, and your decisions. Give it all to the Lord, because at the end of the day, he alone understands everything that we struggle with. The other thing that I want us to get and understand as we're dealing with this disorder, or we're supporting someone who's dealing with this disorder, is that God is a healer. I think we oftentimes forget that fact about the God that we serve, that he is a healer. It is a characteristic of the God that we serve. And so when you're dealing with a mental disorder that you have no control over, seemingly, God will not punish us for our behavior stemming from our condition. Like, that is not the God that we serve. Again, we just talked about God understanding. However, as debilitating as it can be, or seemingly uncontrollable, it's important that we don't lose faith in God's ability to heal us. So we don't just throw our hands up and say, well, I guess he's not going to, I can't control it. And so it is what it is. No, I've got to lean into the fact that God is the ultimate healer and he has the ability and character to heal me. So I'm going to lean into my faith to trust that God is going to deliver me from this disorder. When Jesus was on the cross, it was our very weaknesses that he carried for us. It was our distress. It was our disappointment. It was our misfortunes that weigh us down. God carried all of that over to his son, Jesus. And Jesus had all of that within him when he died on the cross for us, including our disorders, our diseases, our illnesses. Jesus was pierced in his hands and his feet. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding us of that. And reminding us of his word. I'm going to say that again. Jesus was pierced in his hands and his feet and in his side for all of those things. He was beaten so we could be whole and whipped so that we could be healed. He didn't suffer for himself just to suffer. He didn't suffer for just him, his own suffering. That wasn't why Jesus died on the cross for us. He suffered for all of us, for our sins and our sicknesses. And so when the Bible says that by his stripes we are healed, that's what it's referring to. The fact that Jesus was whipped and beaten before getting to the cross and suffered a brutal death meant that we could have everlasting life, meaning no sickness will ever kill us. No sickness will ever be too big to overcome. No disease or disorder is so disheartening that it takes us out and wipes us out completely. God allowed his son to suffer for us and all of those sicknesses. So when you think you're alone or feel like God is punishing you by allowing you to go through this illness, remember he cares and he sent his son to die for you and this illness. Remind yourself that we are his sheep and he is an absolutely always a good shepherd. It is the enemy's purpose to come to steal life from you, to kill you, to destroy you. But it is God's purpose to give us a rich and satisfying life. That is what his word says. And your faith has to be big enough to believe in the fact that his word is true. It is without lie. It is infallible, meaning that everything that it says will come to pass. God's purpose for us is a rich and satisfying life. In Psalm chapter 103, verse 2 through 5, here's what it says. It says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things." This is the God that we serve yesterday, today, and forever. This is a promise. This is a promise that he makes, a promise of healing based on his character, the character of God as a healer. And it includes physical wholeness. He not only forgives our iniquities, but he heals our diseases is what his word says. It's who God was to David, who writes Psalms 103. And those of us that read about it in scripture, it's who he was to them as well. But more importantly, it is who he is today for you and me. So not only does God understand, but God is a healer. If we can trust in those two things, man, it will change our perspective and our outlook on our disorders, but also the disorders of those that we support. God is for us. He understands and he desires to heal us because that is who he is. And one of the last things I want to share in today's message is that God cares for you. He cares for you. You know, what is interesting about this obsessive compulsive disorder is that there is this subtype of it known as religious OCD, or is often known as scrupulosity. And it's a psychological disorder that primarily is characterized by pathological guilt and obsession associated with moral or religious issues, and it is often accompanied by compulsive moral or religious observance, and it's highly distressing for those who deal with it. I mean, think about it. The enemy already wants to come and kill you and destroy you, and he'll use the things that you are most incapacitated by, and he'll double down on those things to try to get you to submit to him. And so already we deal with the enemy on our back, and then we have this disease or this disorder that similarly pushes us towards this compulsive behavior to be religious. And religion is not the goal in day-to-day life. God is not looking for us to be religious. He's looking for us to be in relationship with him. And what is the difference? To be religious is to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who looked at the law as this strict thing that needed to be followed, that so much so that they couldn't even recognize that the King of Kings had come to earth, that the Savior, the Messiah that they were looking forward to, that the law and the prophets spoke about, was in their midst. They were so religious that they missed exactly what God wanted them to grasp. They weren't picking up what Jesus was putting down, to the point that they ended up spearheading the killing of Jesus. And so he's not looking for us to be religious, but he's looking for us to be in relationship with him, to honor him, to love him, to bring glory to his name, to honor his word, to live by his word, to live in submission to him, to accept this free gift of salvation and to live a righteous life. That is the relationship that God is wanting for us, not for us to observe religious customs. And so as someone is dealing with this religious OCD or scrupulosity, what they're dealing with is the urge and the compulsion to live a religious life. Here's a quote from the Bayan Mental Health Treatment Center. Says this: those who struggle with this type of disorder may grapple with recurring doubts about their faith or salvation, intrusive and unwanted blasphemous or sinful thinking or other thoughts. To cope with these symptoms, the individual may engage in religious rituals or compulsions like seeking reassurance from others and repetitive prayer. Individuals with religious OCD may also fear not having enough faith, going to hell, committing a sin, experiencing unwanted sexual or inappropriate thoughts about church leaders or God, and more. So you can understand how the enemy will pervert our thoughts and those struggling with this disorder to think such things. And already the enemy is trying his old same tricks. And we're not only dealing with the enemy, but we're dealing with our own mental health issues and the thoughts. And so OCD is not just about someone being hypersensitive to germs or cleanliness or physical tics, the things that we're accustomed to. It's much more than the average person really understands. We see with scrupulosity that when someone is dealing with OCD, there is far more beneath the surface than we can even imagine. And those struggling with OCD also have intrusive thoughts about suicide and acceptance or feeling a lack thereof. And so it's so important that for those of us who may not have to deal with such a disorder, that we foster a level of community and belonging and love for our neighbor, because you have no idea what someone is dealing with. There's a quote that I heard years ago that has stuck with me every single day and helps me view others in a certain life with light, with a certain perspective that helps me to care for them. And the quote says, everyone is facing a battle that you know nothing about. Be kind always. Again, everyone is facing a battle that you know nothing about. Be kind always. And those who are struggling with OCD fall into that camp where they are struggling with thoughts that maybe you can't even imagine. And they deal with being accepted to the degree that it cripples them. And so your kind words, like scripture tells us, anxiety brings about depression, but a kind word relieves them. A kind word helps them. A kind word supports them. It is our job, church, to support people who deal with these mental health disorders. And I want those who are struggling with these disorders to understand you are not crazy. You are not out of your mind. You are dealing with a struggle that we know nothing about. But at the end of the day, if we call ourselves believers and Christians, we are going to love you, church. We need to love our neighbor in the same way that Jesus does. Not look at people crazy, not expect people to be perfect and have it all together, but love them in the same way that Jesus does. And I want to remind everyone who struggles with this disorder that God loves you and God cares about you. Though you may feel this sense of guilt brought on by this disorder, God truly understands your heart and your struggle, and he loves you for who you are. He wants to heal you. He wants to cover you. He wants to protect you. He wants the best for you. That is the God that we serve. I know it may feel lonely at times, but God is near and he's a present help. God tells us in his word, don't be afraid, for he is with us. Don't be discouraged, because he is our God and he will strengthen us and help us. He will hold us up with his righteous right hand, with his victorious right hand. As challenging as it might be, we have to trust his sovereignty, that he is God and no disorder, no illness can change or oppose him. He is God. We've talked about it a few different ways in this series, but scripture tells us to give all of our worries and cares to God, because he cares for us. He cares about us. This is what Peter tells us in God's word. This is what he tells us. But the other part that I want to make sure that we don't forget is that Peter then goes on to tell us to stay alert. Watch out for the enemy, because he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so in the moments that you feel like giving up, in the moments that you feel like you've lost all hope, like no one cares or no one understands, I want you to remember that God loves you and that God cares. There is no disease, there is no disorder, there is no illness, there is no sickness that he does not see. And his word says that he is near to the brokenhearted. God sees that broken heart. God sees your struggle. God sees your pain, and he loves you. The purpose of reminding us how much God cares for us is so that when the enemy does try to attack, when the enemy is actively working against us, that we can stand firm against him and be strong in our faith, knowing that God will restore, that God will support us, that God will strengthen us. These are all things that we got to keep in mind. God will restore me. God will support me. God is supporting me. God is strengthening me. He is with me. He is present. And there's nothing that the enemy can do about it. He will place us on a firm foundation that we can stand on. His word says it, and his word is true, and we believe every bit of it. In our lowest moments, we have to remind ourselves that God cares about us. I want to say this again, because I think it's so important for us to repeat as many times as we need to. God tells us, don't be afraid. God is with us. He tells us, don't be discouraged. He is our God. He will strengthen us. He will help us, because he cares for you and me. I want to finish up here. Mental health issues are not a faith issue. We talked about this last week. Sure, it might be how we respond to them that could call into question our faith, but our mental health issues are not a faith issue, but rather a sin issue. And I don't mean this in the sense that you are a sinner and your sin has caused you to have mental health issues, but rather what I mean is that as a result of sin entering this world, cancer, OCD, anxiety, depression, these are all caused by sin. They are all part of the enemy's plan to kill us and to destroy us. But I want you to understand that God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. And he did this long ago through Jesus Christ. There's nothing that you need to do differently. There's nothing that you can earn. There's nothing that you have to work towards. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. And so when we accept and understand God's grace, his forgiveness, and his love, no power, not even ourselves, could take that away from us. All we have to do is accept this gift from our Lord and Savior. You know, while this disorder may cause intrusive, terrible thoughts that aren't of God, he does provide forgiveness. God gives that to us freely when we get to know him. And it's the grace of God that has been revealed to us that brings salvation to all of us. We have his grace that allows us a way out of those intrusive thoughts, that allows us a way out of hell as a result of our sin. God covers us with his grace. And even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. He did this for us, knowing that we would have a struggle in the future, knowing that we would deal with such a crippling disease, knowing that we would deal with such a disorder. God sent his son to die for all of those things, knowing that we might be afflicted by them, knowing that we might be feeling the effects of them, knowing that we might exhibit and demonstrate compulsive behavior as a result. God sent his son to cover all of those things. It's already done. It's already done. He forgives us. He covers us. He provides his grace for us. When you start to feel that sense of guilt for the thoughts that you have, be reminded that God's forgiveness is freely available to you. It is because we serve a good God, a mighty God. If you struggle with mental health, specifically a form that seems uncontrollable or a form that's rooted in fear, anxiety, or worry, I want to remind you that God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome all of the effects, all of the impacts, all of the results of dealing with this disorder. We got to trust him. We got to lean on him. We got to call on him in the moments that we feel the effects. We can't lean on our own understanding, but we've got to trust the Holy Spirit in those moments. Jesus says that he sends, when he goes away, he sends this helper. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit is here to do. He is here to help us overcome and move past our disorders. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, we thank you today. Like we prayed to start this message, we thank you that you understand us. From the inside out, you understand every part of us. You see us, you know us. And Lord, I am so grateful for your grace. I'm so thankful for your mercy. I'm so thankful for your care, for your love, for your tenderheartedness toward us. Lord, I thank you that every single person who is struggling with a mental health disorder, God, I pray that you would help them understand that you see them. They are loved, they are cared for. They are chosen, even when they feel lonely, even when they feel like there's no way out, God, they are chosen, they are yours. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help them overcome, that as your word says, you will hold them up with your victorious right hand. God, I thank you that you are near to us, God, that you are a present help in the time of our troubles. So Lord, I pray that everyone who is struggling with some mental health disease or disorder, God, I pray that you would show them, that you would show yourself strong and mighty in their life, and you would remind them right now in this moment that you are with them, that you are God alone and you are a healer. You care and you understand for every bit of who they are. We thank you now, Lord. We thank you now, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you now for your healing, wonder-working power, God. We thank you right now for it. We give your name glory and all honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, like we always do at this time, I want to take this opportunity to pray a prayer of salvation with you. Maybe you've prayed this prayer before at some point in your life, or maybe you've never prayed it, meaning you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Everything that we just talked about is all fine and dandy, and it's great to hear, and it lifts our spirits. But if we don't accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, nothing I've said even matters if you haven't developed a relationship with Him that starts with accepting the free gift of salvation. There's no magic in this prayer. There's no pixie dust is going to fall from heaven and fall on you. But it's all about the condition of your heart and you praying from your heart and meaning what you're praying that makes the difference. And so I want to pray this prayer out loud all together so that we can speak life over ourselves, life over our disorders, and we can demonstrate with our words and with our heart what we believe and who we believe about God, because who you believe about God is the most important thing about you. And so all together, let's pray this prayer together out loud, regardless of where you're at, who you're with. This is an opportunity for you to acknowledge your God here on earth. And the Bible tells us that when we do that, Jesus is shouting our names from the rooftop to God in heaven. So let's pray this out loud all together. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So today I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. With this profession of faith, today I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You just made one of the best decisions that you've ever made in your life. Better than getting married, better than having children. Having the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as your Savior is the most incredible decision you will ever make in your life. And now I want to encourage you to live out what you just prayed. And it starts by doing three things, three basic things. One is to start talking to God. Every good relationship is built on healthy communication. And so you got to start talking to God, start praying to God. And not only do you share what's on your heart from a real place, but you got to pause and listen to hear God and learn to hear what his voice sounds like to you. But it's all about communication. And the next thing I would encourage you to do is start reading his word. If you need a Bible, us here at The Grove, we would be happy to send you one in whatever version that you need. We can get you one in a different language, whatever you need, let us know. Send us a message, go to our social media pages, send us a direct message. We'd love to partner with getting a Bible to you. But you got to start reading his word because you got to understand what the word of God says about you and who you are, especially those who are dealing with some mental health disorder. You got to understand what his word says about you, and you got to embed that deep into your heart. And the last thing I would encourage you to do is to find some community, find some believers who can encourage your faith, your newfound faith, and then those that you can encourage as well, because the Bible tells us that we are not only being encouraged by those who've been doing this, but we are also, those of us who have been saved and living this life are also encouraged by your newfound faith. And so find some community that you can be in relationship with And if you need some community, we are here at The Grove. Send us a direct message. Let us know you're tuning in. We love to connect with you and be in that community with you. But I guarantee that if you do those three things, your life is going to be exponentially better. Trust me. The Lord is near. The Lord is present. The Lord wants to help you. He sends his Holy Spirit to help you live a righteous life. All you got to do is lean on him. Don't depend on your own self to do it and walk it out right, but trust the Holy Spirit to help you in your walk, and your life is going to change for the better. Hey, we thank you for joining us here at The Grove Online. We thank you for every single person who prayed that prayer of salvation. And we just believe that God is doing something incredible in and through you right now. We look forward to having you join us next week, and we'll see you then.